Hey guys, welcome to a brand new episode of In Your Head with yours truly, Chris Medina. Let me just start off by saying I am so fucking excited to introduce my next guest. Let's start off with him being the first male to ever come on In Your Head podcast. Literally, my soul brother. I have mentioned him before. A really, really good friend of mine. Someone that is so fucking down to earth. Someone that I respect, I admire, and has been a total inspiration to me since we first met. Let me stop with these long-ass introductions, and let me introduce you to my soul brother, my very good friend, Ryan Bailey.
Oh my God, I'm tearing up. Let's end the podcast right now. It doesn't get better than that. Chris, I mean, all of that right back at you. I am thrilled to be the first guy on here. This is what an honor.
It had to be. It had to be you. I had to have you on here. I want to bring up everything. I want to talk about how we met. I want to talk about you.
It's insane.
I want to definitely make it all about Ryan today. Let's start off with how we met.
Yeah.
We met through Molly McLear.
Molly McAleer, yes.
McAleer.
Yes.
I always get her name fucked up. Do you want to go in on that and talk
about
that?
Yeah, so Molly, who you guys might know if you listen, because she's an amazing podcaster in her own right, we're really good friends, and she does a podcast called Please Advise, which I remember the day you went on that podcast because we were texting, and she said, after the podcast, I just had one of the best experiences I've had in my life, and it was with you, and she was explaining all of the kind of revelations you guys had come up with together. And she was just like, you gotta get a reading from him, or you gotta talk to him. And I know you guys were in each other's lives from that point. And so I was always aware of you. And then what was great was that I did reach out to you to set up a reading. And I've never done anything like this before. I'm open to anything, but it never had presented itself. But I was like, let's try anything. It was great because it was really hard to set that reading up with you, or like it kept being, you know,
delayed or something.
Delayed. And then when we finally did talk on the phone, you kind of were very honest and you said, I've been really not wanting to do this.
Yeah.
You know, I've been not wanting to do this. And I'm very self-deprecating. And I was just like, is it something about me? What is like, am I not a
die?
Cool person?
Yeah.
I was like, am I not cool enough for a reading? I didn't know. And you had proceeded to tell me, which turned out to be insanely true, was that, you know, you're about to go through some of the, you know, your future is, you're going to come out of it, but you're about to go through one of the roughest periods. And it's going to take a while. You're going to be okay, but it's going to last for a little bit of time. And I was really not wanting to go into that with you.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if you remember that.
I remember it to a T. And we'll get to all the good stuff in a second here when it comes to that reading. But yeah, I remember Molly wanted me to give you a reading. She said that you were interested in it. I had done her show, did her reading. So funny, just to kind of backtrack here, you and I were both going through some weird kind of chaotic shit at the time that we met and we got introduced to each other. For whatever reason, it was delayed. And then I finally got a hold of your picture. I was like, okay, let me see what this guy looks like and see what's going on.
Horrified.
Horrified.
Picture. I cannot.
I was like, there's just something about him that I fuck with for some reason. He seems very, his energy seems very similar to mine. There's something kind of almost spiritual about the two of us meeting. So I was kind of like, okay, let me see what's going on. Give me more hits on him. Tell me exactly what he's going through here. And I don't know if you want me to mention this here, but there was some stuff going on in your personal life.
Yes.
That
there was a separation with, you know, I was married, and I was going, it was the beginning of all of this happening. This was the kind of the beginning of a lot of bad things with that relationship. Uh-huh. I mean, it, you know, there were bad things throughout the course of the relationship, but it was really on that breaking point of everything exploded at this time period.
Right.
And I was in a very long-term relationship, you know, close to 10 years. To be in that long of a relationship and to not really have that kind of understand what was happening, to understand why I wasn't feeling a certain way, or there was like a pit of anger built up because of things that I had allowed myself to, you know, to happen in my relationship, you know, like
right.
There was just all this stuff that I wasn't, I don't know, but it was just this huge pit in my like stomach of like just knowing that there was something drastically wrong and I didn't know how to handle any of it.
Right.
And through like when all this exploded, it really did send me on this kind of past 2 years of self-discovery. I mean, that sounds a little corny, but
it's true, though.
It's true. Like, I mean, the person I was 5 years ago, the person I was 4 years, I mean, I've changed so much. I mean, we were talking about that before we started. I just recently moved into a new place and finally got my stuff out of storage after like a year and a half. And I was like, who is this guy? Like, I don't remember this guy. Like, I had a bunch of like Batman toys. I'm like, who is the guy that collected? I can't go back to that guy. Like, that's not, like, life got so serious.
Right.
Life ceased to be funny. Like, you go through periods of time where you're like, I can't find the humor in this anymore. You know, it was just like, but you warned me that day when we first talked that I was going to go through something like this.
Yeah, as I said before.
Is this depressing for the listeners?
No, it's not really depressing, because I'm going to get to all the good shit right now. And the reason why I was so hesitant to tell you, like I said before, when I first saw your picture, I was like, there's some sort of bond between him and I. There's something similar.
Huge, yes. This is the big.
So I gave you the reading and I was like, you're going to go through this major transformation. I said, I predict the next 2 years are going to be all over the place. It's going to be probably very uncomfortable for you. I said, there is something about not wanting to change or still wanting to hold on to things that you need to let go of during this time that you're going to be forced to let go of. So get ready, hunker yourself down, ground yourself, get ready for the next 2 years. I looked at it as you reaching the point in your path where you're like, okay, do I continue to keep going straight with everything that I have, or do I go left, or do I go right? And with you, it was very much, do not scare him. Do not put fear in him, because think about how you would feel if somebody fucked your head that way.
Yeah.
So I had to really be careful with what I was saying to you at that time. I'm going to be funny here and maybe a little shitty. It was kind of fun watching you going through what you're going through and seeing how you're handling it, because next up to bat is Chris.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be going through
And I'm going to enjoy that process. Yeah. No, because there were times when I would text you or write, you know, and I'd be like, how are you feeling today? Are you going through something? Shit? Like, because I felt like we did sync up in certain ways, or like when things got really rough or something like that, I kind of knew you might be going through something similar. Like it is a very, I mean, you're like, you're
you
understanding.
You did do that.
No,
you
I did. Yeah. A couple of times. Yeah. I was like, hey man, are you feel like I'm going through something crazy? But also the other thing too, is that you warned me of all this, or you advised me to all of this change. But I have to say, I fought a lot of it too. Like I fought the change. Mm-hmm. I fought the change, but I really did. Like I wanted things to stay the same sometimes. I wanted to be the same person. I didn't want to grow. I was very scared and reticent to move forward, you know, to say goodbye to certain things of my past. That's a really scary place to be in, because you want to hold everything that's comfortable. You know, it's hard. It's to feel uncomfortable is hard.
And I also, because we're very similar, but you have a little bit more of a softer spot to you than I do at times. I'm a little bit more jaded.
Yes.
So I feel like with you, you don't like to hurt feelings.
Oh, that's my biggest downfall, is I will go out of my way to my detriment and even their detriment, like just to like, cause I don't want to see anybody hurt. It pains me. I feel that very deeply, and I will sit there and spiral out on it, where I'll just imagine somebody's hurt. That sounds crazy, but I really will. Like it really has stopped me in a lot of things in life, because I'm so concerned what somebody else feels or thinks. And I'm very sensitive to that. And it's funny, because I work with actors and I am an actor. So it's, at my work, I teach and things like that. So I have actors around me all the time. And to have that much energy coming at you of like people, actors are like all over the place, like I am, but mm-hmm. just to feed in all of that energy and you're responsible for other, you know,
But it has to be a good distraction for you, though. Acting has to be a good distraction for you to
get away from myself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
So going back to what I was saying about us being two totally different people when it comes to that, again, I look at your life and I look at mine. I very much wanted to be an actor growing up. I went to acting school.
It's not too late, Chris. We can do this.
I was in acting school. I did acting for a little bit. I just could not let go. And being psychic, being a medium, being all that stuff there, and reading the intention when you're giving, your monologue, and you're going up and you're presenting yourself, I instantly locked into the person's way of thinking, and that's what fucked me up. So looking at you and looking where you're at and how successful you are in your career and the places that you are going with your career, and me being on a totally different realm, which is the spirituality side of it, it's kind of reversing itself now a little bit here. You're coming a little bit into more of who you are authentically, feeling yourself, stepping out of your comfort zone, being comfortable with not being so rigid or, what am I looking for? I wouldn't go so far as to say stubborn, but holding on to so much like you used to before.
Well, yeah, I mean, think of it. I mean, we're Tauruses and like supposedly, you know, we're very stubborn, and I will be very stubborn about like holding on to a belief system that no longer serves me.
Right.
You know, I mean, I grew up really, I mean, not to mince words, like hating myself, thinking that I was, you know, ugly, not like not smart, not like there were so many negative thoughts in my head. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to get to a point, even at a certain older age, to realize that like, man, all these lies we tell ourselves, they don't exist.
Right.
You know, like we're literally in a constant battle with our minds every day of the week.
We are our own worst enemy.
No, that's it. It's seriously, you know, we can only see ourselves through other people. And that's why people are amazing. Like, you know, I love it when I just need to carry you around and have you introduce me like you did on the podcast, because seeing myself through your eyes really like it crystallizes who I actually am, you know, like that's or who I want to be. But I think naturally we just tell ourselves lies to keep ourselves down, and we do that on a daily basis. And like eventually you just really start living that instead of what your destiny actually is.
Right.
But think about it. You're constantly, if I'm very sensitive to people, you know, you're picking up on a lot of like that energy. It does make me nervous. You know, it makes me, and I also want to make sure everybody's okay. Like I was kind of always, even as a kid, of just like wanting everybody to get along. Let everybody be happy. Let everybody, please, let's do that. You know, not wanting to create waves. Like that's what I'm always so admirable to you. Or even when I listen to your podcast, when you do the solo ones, like I said this before, like I get scared shitless because I'm like, he's talking to me. Like he's yelling. What did I do? Like I said, like he's talking directly to me, you know? Yeah. And like that's because you personalize. You know, I mean, that's what's, I think, brilliant about you, but I don't know. It's, you have these amazing qualities that I'm learning to stand up for myself. And I think that's something that comes very natural to you,
yeah.
But it never did to me. And I think that's just, you know, this whole 2-year experience has taught me that I'm a good guy. Like I'm actually a really great guy. I'm worth it. Like I'm
100%,
you know, like, and that's, it's so emboldening when you do. You're like, oh man, life did not have to be this hard. Like, I'm so glad I'm here right now, but man, my 20s, like that, what did I do to myself? You know, just to go back to like that, this journey is, you know, it is exciting to realize, I don't know. I just still keep thinking back to that conversation with you, and it really did set off this course that I've been on. And we were just talking before the pod is that it's just, like I finally moved into a place. I unloaded my storage. I'm like, so many changes this last 2 months, especially, has so many changes have happened. And I'm finally just feeling like when you finally feel your foundation come back and you're just like, what a journey it's been, you know?
Yeah. You're able to relax and truly authentically unload and not have to worry.
Well, life can be exciting again. Life can, like, you're not constantly looking for the, you know, rocks do come at you still, but you know how to, you know how to absorb it or deflect it.
Yeah.
And life has started to become exciting again.
So when we first met, what was your spirituality like before that? What was your belief system? Because I know I've seen a couple of pictures on Instagram where you were a good Catholic boy.
Yeah, I was an altar boy. Uh-huh. You know, my mom was like extremely Catholic, and she still is. I believe in a higher power. I don't necessarily believe in, I believe in energy. I believe, but my mom believes in God, and I want to believe in God just because I love my mom so much. Uh-huh. I adore that lady, and it gives her comfort. So I sometimes will like that. I want to believe in it for her, but I don't like, there's so many crazy and like, this can't all be just coincidence. Like there's too many, the universe is so large. There's so many crazy things that happen. Like there's no way. But by the way, like even that's the other thing. I don't know if you remember this too, when you did the reading, this is what boggled my mind, is that you said there's a lady here, like an angel or, you know, your spirit guide or something like that. Mm-hmm. And you said there was a thing that my grandma used to tell me, because you're like, you know, and you're like, there's a lady here and she's saying this. And I was like, that's my grandma. And how would you even know what she used to say to me? Like that scared the crap out of me. Cause I was like that. I mean, you literally told me a phrase that my grandma said to me that nobody else knew. I didn't really talk about it. And she was like, she's here. She says, it's going to be all right. You're great. She wants me to like, take it easy on you, you know, like, and I was just boggled. Like, I was just like,
had you ever had a psychic reading before?
Never. Well, yeah. Yeah. No, I actually, no, there was one in my 20s, in Arizona, you know, off of, in Tempe, but you know, nothing like this. nothing like this.
So with that being said, in opening up your mind, or kind of like, you know, having somebody read you that's never ever met you in person before, because we did the reading before we met in person.
It was jaw dropping. Like, it was, that's why I always strongly suggest anybody that I was like, you gotta get a reading from Chris Medina. You gotta, because it's crazy. Like there was like, you know, I think about it now, I get welled up because it's just, it's really scary and it's really exciting. And you realize that we are part of something bigger, that there is, you know, we all have paths, and, you know, like, it's just, and it's amazing that you can actually see those things, you know, and I always want to hear from my grandma. So
I was never worried about you. I was like, okay, well, we share a lot of similarities. And again, we're both very sensitive. We both fucking hate change. We hate to be dragged in, kicking and screaming into anything. So again, taking it easy with you and making sure that you understood what you were going through here, but not scaring the shit out of you. And again, you are coming out of it. I mean, where most people would have crumbled or failed or would have given up and said, I'm fucking done with it. Look where you're at now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there were those times where I did. I mean, this is so deep. I'm usually like a silly, goofy person. So this is like the deepest I will ever talk. But there were really like dark nights of the soul where you're just like, sometimes you're like, I don't want to be here right now. Oh, like, I don't want to feel like this anymore. I don't want to. Like, it's just, every day is something, just like, I'm causing people pain. I'm causing, you know, my ex, like, I'm causing her pain. I'm causing, you know, you just, these people that you love and you care about, like, you're causing them pain. And like, that was my Achilles heel to begin with.
Yeah.
And I'm having to, on top of that, deal with my own pain and not know why I can't seem to get out of this hole. You know, it was like something new every time. And it seemed like I was constantly making new mistakes to add to the old ones. Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to keep my head above water. And so for a good period of time, it was just trying to just stay afloat, mm-hmm. you know?
I've learned throughout this whole process, again, you are two steps ahead of me when it comes to this game here, that I've actually learned just to let go. Just let the yeah. wave carry you wherever the fuck it's going to carry you. Do not try to hold on. Do not try to, you know, kick up or whatever. Do what you need to do to just stay afloat and just keep letting it take you where it's going to take you. Because at the end of the day, look at it. Look at everything that we've been through in our lives, everything that's gone on with us, the strength that we have, the inner strength that we have. We're never people, you and I specifically, are never people that are going to put ourselves in a situation that we can't get ourselves out of. You're too smart for that.
Yeah.
I really think that, again, that we might do stupid things.
You guys hear that? I am too smart for that.
I think that we'll do stupid things in the name of dick or pussy, but when it
comes... Wait, who are those guys?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Who's dick and pussy?
So long. But when it comes to that, it's a different story. But, like, again, being able to stay afloat and maneuver life the way that we have, let's give ourselves a pat on the back, because most people would have given up. I don't know where you were at.
No, I really do. Like, it would have been super easy to... super easy to give up, like, but I am so, why did I get hit by a car tomorrow? But I feel like I really feel like I'm coming out of, I'm going to 100% get hit by a car now, but
no,
like,
no.
But, what if you're like,
we're not going to have it that easy. Yeah, trust me. It's not going to be that easy for us.
No, I mean, I feel like at least for this week or these past couple weeks, you know, or these past couple months, it's just so nice to hear the birds singing again, or to like really just appreciate everything and every moment that I've been through and the people that have stood by me through all of this, to be friends with new people like you. Life can be really rich, you know, and there's never, nothing is ever over, you know, like there's always some kind of hope, you know?
Well, I am so proud of you. I'm proud of where you're at right now, the person that you've kind of morphed into, and it's good to see you feel a little bit more comfortable with yourself.
Yeah. I mean, it really is like that one of, you start to realize those things too, of just like, well, this is who I am and I can fully lean into it. Like, and you realize the world is large too, is that like, there's so many people out there. Like, you know, if one group of friends you lose, you're going to get another group of friends. That sounds really cold, but like, there's so much out there. There's so many new experiences. There's so much life.
Yeah, the universe has a way of weeding shit out for us, because, again, you and I hold on to things till fall off.
Oh, I mean, like, and I'll just replay things in my mind and situations and people, and I'll let it haunt me. I'll walk around haunted by people, you know? Yeah. And that's such a weird, I don't even know where I got that quality, but it's something that, you know, ever since a kid, you know? I mean, I was that weird kid that was like, when I was 7 years old, worried that we were going to be in a nuclear war. I was that kid running around, thinking that nuclear war was we got to get a shelter, mom. I was that weird kid that took everything so serious, and I was worried about everything. And that was I was this weird kid that just stayed inside and read books all day.
Uh-huh. When it comes, it's funny because again, people always ask, with Ryan being your quote unquote soul brother, what is his intuition like? Do you feel like you operate from a place of intuition, or would you even think of that it was intuition?
See, I've thought about this actually in this last month. And this was kind of a weird revelation to me, because I was thinking in regards to you was that, I wonder if I have any kind of ability. And then I was just wait a sec. I was, how I was telling you earlier of I work with so many actors, and sometimes it's really hard because sometimes I'll get to, I can be really nervous or like that. But when I'm at school, I get to a real zero place where I just am very calm. I'll keep my head down a lot of the times. If I'm very reserved, if I'm not teaching or coaching, mm-hmm. and I try to really save energy, because what happens is that I feel, this sounds so corny, but you deal with 30 or 40 different actors a day, and they're all coming in, and you can feel that energy. That's what I'm saying. So I think that is some kind of ability in itself, where if somebody's angry, I can feel it immediately. If somebody's sad, I can feel it immediately. Mm-hmm. So I take in everybody's. So it's really hard. I have to make myself really small at work, mm-hmm. because you're dealing with actors are baddie as hell, and they're all over the map, and I can feel all of it. You can just. And I do that with people in general. I just feel either your pain, your happiness, your sadness. And I think that's some kind of intuition.
For sure. Again, we have two totally different backgrounds. I came from a very jaded household. You came from a household where both your parents are still together to this day,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So you didn't go through some of the things that I went through growing up that jaded me or had me rely solely on my intuition, because everyone asks, who guided you? How did you come into this life? And I'm I don't know how to put it other than just hearing the voice in my head guiding me to do what I need to do, telling me what is right and wrong. Look at this person here. What does this person say to you about their personality? What are they trying to tell you here? So I always had that ability to go within, but to tell people that I'm a psychic as a kid, I would have never said that.
Would you even have the
wherewithal to say
yeah,
it?
Yeah, or even the what is this? How did you even know what it was?
Exactly. So friends would say, "Oh, go to Chris. Chris is great at giving advice."
Yes. Yeah.
He's the shoulder to cry on. So here's where I want to bring you into it.
That's fine.
With you being an actor and being a teacher for the acting school, do you feel like you can point out the weak spots of a person, or go within and kind of maybe you categorize everybody the same way I do in certain, put them in little bubbles here? But do you find that your intuition guides you when it comes to acting and what to bring out of that person?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And it's you can see things easier than other people. And that's just, I can see, I can see what somebody's special, with actors, we all say, we all have our special thing, uh-huh. What's your special? So it's all about bringing that special thing out of somebody, uh-huh. but you can see that special thing anyways. And it's all about coaxing it out of somebody, And that is something that I'm decent at, And cause I can classify people really quickly. I can pretty much tell you, and I'm pretty good at like that person has not good intentions, and I can see it, and I'm usually proven to be very right about it.
Yeah.
But I never thought about it in terms of some kind of gift. It was just something that I always I'm very confident when it comes to my opinion of people or who they turn out to
there
be.
There has to be something there, because again, we both have the sun in Taurus, both have moon in Pisces, and both have Capricorn risings. That moon in Pisces is that intuition. That's the thing that kind of allows us to be shitty to ourselves. That makes us overly sensitive. We never forget anything. Anytime we're depressed,
that's
we start replaying.
Elephant memory.
A gift and a curse.
Yeah.
So with you being able to connect, you got to make sure, best advice I'm going to give you ever throughout your whole life is to be able to disconnect from those people. Because again, you can carry on the energy of people and not even realize that you're doing it, and let it infiltrate your mind or your way of thinking throughout the day, where it fucks you up. So being able to disconnect and pull the cords out from them is something you should try to practice.
Yeah. You want to be, I think a lot of people do this, but you want to suffer, you want to be everything to everybody.
Right.
I want to be everything to everybody. I want to be there for people. I want to make sure I add to somebody's life. At the end of all of this, I want people to be miserable when I die. I want people to freak the fuck out. I want people, I want there to be like, I loved him. I want multiple people to come up to people like, I was in love with him. I was in love with him. No, I'm joking. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to, like, I mean, if I'm here, I'd love to mean something to somebody. And I'm not like, and that's weird, like, coming from somebody that was very insecure for most of their lives. But what I do, the people I love so hard on them, you know, and I want to, like, yeah, I just want to mean something to people.
I think, again, the way that we carry ourselves is obviously completely different. I don't think anybody would realize that I'm loyal, just as loyal as you are when it comes to people, but I am. I will stick my neck out. I will do everything I possibly can for that person, even if it means fucking myself up.
Yes, I will gladly screw myself up, too. I'm used to it. Like, I can do it. Like, I'll totally, like, yeah.
I would have to think that, again, us being so similar, that we're starting to feel ourselves. We're starting to snap the fuck out of it. We're starting to enjoy our lives a little bit more, authentically smile, being able to let our guards down just a little bit more here. What do you think?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I feel all of that. Like, that's why this is kind of, like, so funny, because if you had done this podcast with me 4 or 5 months ago, it still would have been in a really, like, I almost think, like, God, we should have done it then, because I was a real miserable bastard for, like, a little bit. I'm, like, very ecstatic because everything that you're saying, I feel like,
thank
I
God.
Feel it. Like, I feel really, and you've also forgot to say to your audience too, is that we're both extremely well endowed. I mean, so, like, the, there's so many similarities.
That's the difference. Sir.
I'm sorry, guys.
No. So I am so happy to have you on here. I'm so fucking proud of all the work that you put into yourself with your, not only with your, personal stuff, but with your career as well.
Yeah.
I want to get into that.
Yes.
I want to talk about, what is Ryan up to?
Yeah.
I know there's so many different levels to Ryan when it comes to his career. You're an actor, a podcaster.
Yeah.
What else do you do? Tell us all about
that. Yeah. So I've been an actor since I was a kid. It really started as a way to get outside of myself. Like, I think a lot of people was just like, really didn't like being myself, and I wanted to be other people. And I was fixated on TV and film as a kid. Like, I just, and the fact that I could actually do what they did. And I grew up in a small town in Kansas. And then when I was in high school, moved to Scottsdale, Arizona, which was like this culture shock because it was huge. And I remember I found the drama department there. That's where usually I was like a geeky kid. And I found that drama department. They took me in, you know, as any kind of like arts do, like they kind of take you in and you actually feel like you have a place. And then it was at like a 3,000 person high school, and I was doing like all the plays and musicals, and I found out like I was good at it. You know, this was something that I could do. And,
you weren't nervous.
I was extremely nervous. I used to have this, I still do. I have to take beta blockers for like really bad auditions. Really big auditions, because I have a slight shake in my right hand if I get really nervous.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I remember auditioning with that before I knew beta blockers existed. Beta blockers are basically just, it calms you down.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't make you feel any different. It just will like steady your hand. It'll steady your heart, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember first coming out to LA, and I would hold the scene in my hand, and it'd be like, you know, it was like, you don't want to be in an audition and the paper is just, like, it's so, even if you act good, you're going to notice that paper, you know, floating in somebody's hand.
Right.
Went to Arizona, then went to ASU because of a girl I was dating at the time. I had a scholarship to NYU, actually, and I turned that down to stay with this girl. Yeah, by the way, guys, I'm not a smart person. Like, I'm an idiot. Like, but.
Oh, shut up.
No, I'm just saying, like, NYU would have been, I got a theater scholarship. I was like.
A theater scholarship to NYU?
Yeah, to Tisch School, yeah.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
Yeah. She was a really cute girl. And it was like a high school sweetheart. And then, so I went to ASU, and then we moved to LA together. And that was crazy. I talked about this actually. She ended up cheating on me with the creator of South Park, which was insane. So like, think about, you're in a long-term relationship, your first high school love, your first, well, this is kind of taking a detour, but first high school sweetheart. And then you move out, and like somebody extremely successful like swoops in, and
miserable fuck.
I mean, it was insane. Like,
yeah.
Flew her to Italy, anyways. But like, and that was like crushing. And like, I remember almost leaving LA at that point, because I'd never felt pain like that in my life. But like, pretty much when I got to LA, as soon as I started, I, you know, was booking commercials.
I've done a lot of shit though.
Yeah, like I've done a lot. I've been, you know, I've been here for a minute. So,
yeah.
And just recently I started doing a lot of voiceover. I mean, I've been, you know, I was the voice of Nissan for a while. That was years ago. But just recently, I've been doing a lot more voiceovers, which has been incredible. And I really love doing that. But yeah, I've been like, I've been really lucky. I've been on The Office, How I Met Your Mother, Criminal Minds. I just recently was on Arrested Development, Law and Order. I mean, I've been on like a good amount of things. I did a couple Lifetime movies. So I'm one of those people that I'm working, like, which is great because you realize what a lottery it is out here. I'm somebody that's never wanted to be famous. I don't care about any of that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm like, I'm starstruck about reality show people. Like, those are like, to me, the movie stars of our like day and age. But like, I don't care about fame. But what I would love is to, I would love to just keep working. And like, I pinch myself. I grew up in Kansas. Do you realize how crazy that is? Grew up in Kansas. I used to dream about driving down Sunset Boulevard and, you know, I used to watch Entertainment Tonight religiously every night as a kid. Like, you know, I still pinch myself, even when I am in like a sad place, that I can drive up and down Sunset Boulevard, that I actually,
you're here.
I'm here. I mean, that's crazy. Like, I mean, do you know how far Kansas away is from here? Like, that's so crazy. I'm so appreciative of my parents. People let me try to pursue this crazy dream. Like, not even, I mean, and when I first started, you don't realize how hard it's going to be. Like, you don't really even have a concept of what, you know, you're like, I think I'm going to be an actor. Mm-hmm. And then you actually, the reality of that is so hard. And it really is. It's a marathon, not a race. But then I started podcasting through Molly and her group, Emotionally Broken Psychos. And, you know, I have a podcast called Realizing Stuff, which is about the Kardashians, which is really funny because it kind of started off me and my partner, Kara. She is a big fan of the Kardashians or is very knowledgeable. And I wasn't at all. Mm-hmm. In fact, I hated the Kardashians. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of where this podcast was coming from, of like a novice and an expert. Me and Kara turned out to like become like best friends over the course of this podcast, but it's a recap show. But like, the Kardashians have gone through every crazy thing that life can throw at you. I mean, think about how many things that family goes through.
Right.
And, so it's a fun podcast. It's like humor, but we go in all different directions. And like, I think the core of it is me and Kara's crazy relationship. We give each other a lot of shit. So
with your acting, what do you want to do with it?
So that is, that's a great question. I mean, it's really, it's, you know, you talk about trying to find your special something or me trying to find that. I think it took me a long time. I mean, probably decades to find out what my special something is, you know? And I think that is just being a good-hearted, earnest person, you know? Mm-hmm. There's an everyman quality to me in a way that I can lean into, you know?
Yeah.
There's, I don't have to try to be caring. You can just supposedly read that on me.
Oh, for sure.
You know, like, so I can be open in that way. You know, we talk about in acting, like, if you have a natural quality, don't push it. Don't try. Just take your foot off the gas because it's going to be there regardless. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's knowing what you're good at, but then at the end of the day, we don't have a lot of control as actors. I don't get to plot my own destiny because I don't get to choose the auditions I go on. So each my goal as an actor now is to go into each room that I get the opportunity to go into and make a fan. I might not get the job, but I want that person to like me.
Right.
I want that casting director to like me and go, that's a solid guy. He's not right for this. I'm going to keep bringing him in and we're going to find something for him. And that's really what has proven to be a good thing for me is making fans.
Uh-huh.
And just not like life, like not giving up. People send, you know, like, he's still here. He's still doing it. Like, I remember that guy. He's changed. Wow. He has a beard now. Wow. He, you know, like,
yeah.
So, but then also the other part is leaning into, you know, like, I started writing my own stuff. I started, you know, I have a short film I'm in pre-production for right now that, is kind of about the experiences of somebody that's newly single and, you know, what that's like, but the humor aspect of that.
There's all kinds of crazy stories to talk about.
Well, yeah. I mean, that, and that's kind of like realizing what it is that I have to say. Cause like, I can be extremely wacky and that's like kind of crazy. And that's what my podcast is for. That's like where I get to like unleash that person. But then there's like a whole like softer sentimental side and it's like a sweet side. And like this short kind of is able to be funny. And at the same time, I think sweet a little bit and a lot of me, but you realize that like, oh, I do have things to say. I do have things that I want people to know. I do have something that I want to get out of my chest, you know?
So with the podcast, you're able to incorporate more of like the humorous, the funny side of
Ryan. Yeah, I mean, like,
the shit talking.
How
side
do you,
of it.
You know, like, I can literally say I hate Kendall Jenner. I hate Kendall Jenner. Like, and I viciously attack Kendall Jenner on a weekly basis on that podcast.
Why? Why Kendall?
Because she's a lazy. Like, she's okay. First, she's rich for no reason. She's lazy as hell. She looks like there's nothing going on behind those eyes. And yet we're all like, she's like a supermodel? Like, no, thank you. I don't even find her attractive at all. This girl is like barely on the register for me. And like, I hate that we're sitting there giving her so much power when like, if she was at a party, I would actively try to walk the other way. Like, I really get such a bad vibe from Kendall Jenner. It is insane.
But she's the one that has most of her face still. I mean, with a side of what's the other one?
By the way, she'll lose that. She'll keep losing that. She's gonna keep doing stuff until it looks
completely.
Has
she had work done?
She probably has. There's not one person left. She's just like, there's not one person in that family that hasn't done work. Like,
I thought Courtney was authentic.
No, this Courtney's still done stuff. She's still done small stuff. The thing is, they get such good plastic surgery that we're starting to not even know it's plastic surgery. And like Kim's face is like. Yeah, those bitches. Kim's face is on like a whole different level. She's like reaching alien status. Like, she eventually is going to turn into a Snapchat filter. Like, she's going to literally like eventually get like cat ears implanted on herself. Like, it's what she's done to her like face. I mean, and it still looks amazing. I mean, it's technically perfect, but like compare the faces through the ages. And
I was just watching something where
she's insane.
She's Armenian. In her earlier
days,
her earlier days, you can totally tell that she was ethnic.
Yes.
Now you can't tell what the
fuck
she was.
No, we're like, we're all like, her and Kanye are eventually just, they're turning into like a new breed. Like, it's like gender fluid. It's like, it's a new, I do a lot of like Caitlyn on my show. Like, yeah, baby, it's me, Caitlyn. Woo!
Oh my God.
And so that I do a lot of that. I do, but they're all crazy. It's a crazy family. But what I love about them, I can make fun of them all I want, but they're still a family that is tightly bonded together. They seem like they really have each other's backs. And I, you know, no matter how much I make fun of them, I always appreciate that. Like, that's a family. That's great. You know?
So do you do that much bashing on them when you're doing the show?
Yeah. I mean, it's a comedic podcast. So, you know, we'll recap the shows when the shows are on air, but there's been so much craziness in their actual lives because the reality show is pretty bland. It's like 2 minutes of good and like 58 minutes of like so-so because they do so many like pre-planned bits. They could have the best reality show known to man, and yet they don't choose to do it because they won't really go into the darkness of their lives. But what I do love is that we see the darkness of their lives in TMZ, and like, so, you know, we cover all of that stuff as well because that's the stuff that is really fascinating. If they would turn the cameras on what is actually going on in their lives, you would, I mean, I don't know if TV shows can win Oscars, but this would be the first TV show to win an Oscar.
So people always ask me about this Tyler Henry kid. I just brought him
up on my
last episode. And they're like, you know, what do you think about him reading the Kardashians or whatever? And I was like, what are you, like, honestly, if I was going to read any one of those girls, I would not bring up their dead father a million and one times. I would bring up in one case saying, let's talk about how disappointed Mr. Kardashian is in your guys' behavior, in the bullshit you guys are doing.
Yeah.
That's what I'd want to touch on. I want to touch on the
dark. They would love that.
I would love to touch on the dark side of it and really go in on them. Not to bash them, but to bring that all out. Because again, I think do you feel like we would have known these girls growing up? There's something about their personality.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I don't think I like Kendall, because I know she would have bullied me. Like, I mean, flat out, Kendall would have bullied me. I know it. Like, that's, I can sense it. She would have bullied me and like made me feel really bad about myself.
Really? I just think she's like lukewarm water. I don't really get anything.
Well, yeah, I mean, she's
her.
Bland and boring, yeah, but yeah. I think she's bland and boring, but also with a side of mean. Like, that's what I think. There's a meanness there that you like, it barely registers because she barely registers.
All the sisters, you think she's the meanest?
No, definitely. No, like, I think that's Kim by a long shot, but, because Kim likes to be nasty. Like, Kim gets glee in like taking people down.
Yeah, talking shit to them.
Yeah,
like bringing out their insecurities.
Kim,
yeah.
Kim, like, there seems to be something that Kim really gets off about that. Like, Kendall.
Do you think that's why Kanye is so fucked up? Because she keeps picking at him.
I don't know. No. I think Kanye was born that way. But like, I do find that relationship fascinating, and I'm so curious how much longer it's going to go. Like, I mean, it eventually has
until
to
their
end.
Contract's up.
Yeah.
Until the contract's up, yeah, for sure. And also, too, let's be truthful. I mean, how does that work? I mean, I would love to see. There was a talk show. Somebody was on the other day and they were talking about, oh, it was Wendy Williams and when she was on Ellen's show.
Yeah.
She was totally bad-mouthing Kim and Kanye.
Oh, yeah. She hates them. Yeah.
She was like we never get pictures of them in their home together, sleeping in the same bed. Well, he's always gone.
Their home, by the way, is like this huge mega mansion and there's no real furniture in there because Kanye's on this kind of like aesthetic where it's like very minimalistic. So it's like they have the best mansion of the world and they like fill it with like, it looks like stucco furniture. It's like the coldest feeling house that I've ever, on like a different plane. And they, by the way, they also, like, I know one of the contractors for their house, they have these things that, you know, like a normal house has like a light switch. The light switches are built into the wall, so it looks like part of the wall, and you just have to know where to touch because there's no differentiation. Like, that's like a different level of just – imagine just feeling around a wall like I am just like trying to find a light. Like, that's got to be insane, but that's the level that Kanye's on, and that's got to be weird for Kim because Kim likes possessions and shit like that, and it's got to be weird when she's in a house with like not a stick of furniture.
I bet she never stays in that fucking house.
No, she's like at the montage or the Bel Air or something. Yeah.
Doing her. Yeah. So this podcast, what is it?
Realizing Stuff with Kara and Ryan, which is great because we actually, so we were part of the Emotionally Broken Psychos Network and they were amazing. And we actually just split off and we're going independent. We're going to relaunch with their new season is coming up in a couple weeks. So that's going to be our first episode of the relaunch. And I'm really excited. I want you to come on.
For sure.
I want you to read the Kardashians what the feeling you get from them.
So I'll keep my mouth shut on this show and save it for yours.
I want people to hear you because I think you're so good at what you do. And it's so, I want to know personally what it could be in store for these people.
Oh, I'm going to unload. I'm going to fucking unload. So going independent, are you switching it up completely? What's going to be different?
I think we're going to have more guests. I think we're going to have more segments, where it'll be me putting myself in crazy situations. I'll probably go to Calabasas and try to hunt them down at some point. I'm going to do some crazy. Because by the way, like, and I'm in love with Kylie Jenner too. It's like, so also this is just, I didn't picture my life having the Kardashians involved in any way. So it's very funny that this is turning out to be like my dad, I think, is very ashamed of me at this point. Like, my dad's like, you do what?
So you like Kylie out of all of them?
It's one of those, I'm proud of her. Like, I feel like when you watch a show so long, they start to become family. And even if you don't like, I don't like certain members of my family, but like, I feel like at this point, I know them well enough where I'm like, that's just so Courtney.
In the field that you're in, you're always around celebrities. You're always around actors. Even we know a few reality TV stars that we have in common.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering how long it's going to take you before you actually have one of these girls on your show, one of the Kardashians or the Jenners.
Well, that of course is a goal. It will be kind of weird because we do make fun of them. So I would be curious to see how that would go. But I'm definitely always trying. It is funny. We get all these Kardashian tips, like people that work with them and people that, you know, it is the amount of information that comes into us is kind of insane. But yeah, like that's something we're always going to try. And we will get it one day. We will get one of them.
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind, for sure.
Whether it's going to be a fun conversation, that is, you know, we'll see. But that is a goal.
They seem to have good senses of humor, though.
I would love to have Chloe on. I mean, not right now because Chloe's going through it, but with that Tristan Thompson scandal and stuff.
Did we not smell that a mile away, though?
Okay, I've said this on my podcast, but any lady listening, do not sleep with Tristan Thompson. Do not, like, let's just, all women should refuse themselves. Women need to band together and decide, as a gender, we will not sleep with this man because he is he's a deviant that just likes to cause wreckage through people's lives.
Yeah, you know what? Jay and I ran into Lamar.
Oh, Lamar Odom.
Fat Burger off of
Is he working at the Fat Burger?
He went in to go use the bathroom.
Did he make a good burger? Yeah.
No. He came in to use the bathroom. It was off of Ventura Boulevard right there in Sherman Oaks.
Yeah.
He'd walked in. He looked high. I don't know if he's still fucking around, but this was like last year. Yeah.
He's at Fat Burger. That's the place to go when you're high.
So do you think, like, we'll wrap up the Kardashians and we'll get on to something else, but I'm completely fascinated with this because somebody else talked shit with. Do you believe in that Kardashian curse?
I do. Well, I do in the sense that, like, think about how successful they are, and the only thing they're not successful at is their relationships, the men in their lives. The men in their lives seem to cause them the most pain. They seem to be the only problem they have in their lives because think of it, like, they've conquered business. I mean, they've done insanely well in business. You can make fun of them for a lot of things, but business can never be one of them because where they started to where they are now is insane. Like, I mean, think about Kim's journey to like start, like she was selling like tummy tea and like little shitty products that you see on Instagram like now. And now she's like the face of like, you know, she's on fashion magazines. Like what a come up. Like, yeah. You know, but the men in their lives, I think it's like a two-way street. There is a Kardashian curse, I think, if you're a guy. I don't think that, like, the guys they choose are shitty already. Like, it's not like they turn them shitty. It's like they're shitty men to begin with.
They bring out the shittier in them.
They bring out the shittier in them. A Kardashian will highlight the shittiness in any guy. Like, it brings them out. But the funny thing is, Scott Disick, who used to be with Kourtney, and they have a couple kids together, Scott Disick is still on the show, and the family seems to like Scott more than they like Kourtney. Like, Kourtney's own family likes Scott better than they like Kourtney.
Out of all those girls, believe it or not, I like Kourtney the best.
Kourtney is another, she's bland. Like, she's somebody that so desperately wants to have a purpose, and yet she has no purpose. And so she kind of floats around. She floats around and she tries to get involved in, like, I'm a designer. And she can't seem to stick to anything for more than like 4 or 5 months. She just started a website magazine called Poosh. A Poosh, I think. It's like a horrible title for Kourtney. She's trying to be Goop. Yeah, it's trying to be Goop, but it's called Poosh or...
Oh, God.
It's like, okay. It's like, it's a horrible title. And I was just like, Kourtney's not going to stick with this for more than 3 months. Like, this is going to grand opening, grand closing, you know?
She's going to get bored with it.
Yeah.
We talked Kardashians. We talked your podcast. We talked your acting. I want to get a little personal here.
Yeah.
What's on the horizon for you when it comes to dating? Because now you're single.
Yeah.
What's going on with that? If you don't mind getting too personal.
No, I mean, that's something that's not, it's something I've not thought a lot about. It's not something that I would not do any like dating apps or anything like that. That just seems not who I am. I feel like meeting people naturally, if anything were the, you know, but it's interesting, you know, coming out of a long relationship, it's another thing that you just don't. You don't really think about, like, you know, I didn't get married thinking I was not going to be married someday. It's all kind of new to me. I didn't know who I was for a good period of my life. So I think coming into my own, it's interesting now what that's going to be like meeting people.
Well, I'd like to see you, I mean, when you're ready, with somebody that matches Ryan's status as far as like being nurturing, being thoughtful, being caring.
Has a beard.
Maybe I'm just kidding. But yeah, just to see you kind of, you know, come into yourself and do you. But I do definitely think that spending some time alone with yourself and discovering who you are and getting better in touch with yourself is huge for you right now.
Yeah.
Like I said, with me, that's where we could not be. I mean, we're so different when it comes to that. When it comes to relationships, I don't mind going out there, believe it or not, and putting myself out there. Jay always trips out. I am not afraid to flirt with somebody openly, to give eye contact, or to be a whore.
Jay's like shaking his head. Yes, yes. Yes,
he's like, yeah.
Yes.
So with you, you're a little bit more reserved and a little bit more shy when it comes to that. So, yeah. I mean, where you're at in life now versus where I'm at, again, I'm getting more and more comfortable with the fact that, yes, this is what I'm going to do for profession. This is where I want to go, like psychically and with the medium stuff and doing more shows and getting the podcast bigger here. And you are already at that spot where, I mean, you're definitely going to excel and grow when it comes to you here, but you're comfortable in that, right? And I'm not, I'm barely coming into that right now. So it'd be nice to see me get a little bit more comfortable in my career and then you get more comfortable in relationships.
Yeah.
That's going to be...
How are you not comfortable in your career, though? I feel like you have one of the best talents that I've seen. I mean, like, this is... I mean, like, you, what I want to see for you, like, I want to see you take this to, like, the highest level. You need to be on TV. You need to be on a network. You need to... Like, I see so much. Like, every time I'm around you, you have such... I just get energy from you. Like, it's like you and Jay, you know, have such a positive energy that you carry with you that I'm just like, I want more people to be around that. You need... Your message, you need to be, you know, you need to, you're there to help people, you know?
Let me ask you this, when it comes to your career, because maybe this is where you can help me out when it comes to that. It has to take a certain somebody, or I don't want to follow suit the way that everybody else has. I'm definitely different than Tyler Henry, James Von Prague, Sylvia Brown, the Long Island Medium. I don't want to put myself in a position to where I'm going to look corny.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
Well, but you don't talk corny. Like, I don't know, like, anytime I don't know if you're capable of being corny. Like, you always do you, for better or worse. Like, when you talk, it's your voice. Like, when you do those, like, solo pods, it's you. You're not, I don't feel like you're putting on some kind of airs. And I've never felt like you putting on airs around people. I don't think you're capable of that, to maybe your detriment. Yeah. To maybe like sometimes you might need to play the game a little bit more to get yourself out there. You know,
when you hear me do the solo podcast and you hear me go off, it scares me.
I get nervous. I sometimes get like I think I told you I was like I thought one time you literally I was like why didn't he just call and tell me this like
I was like no.
And you were like you got to cut the bullshit and you got to like and I was just like he's right I mean but why couldn't he tell me this personally you know why did he have to do it on a podcast
like, can you feel me through there like
you can that's what I think it's great and I told you that the first time I was really nervous listening because I get nervous about listening to friends podcasts because I'm very like if I don't like it then I'm screwed you know because I won't be able to talk to them honestly about it and I won't be able to like and I always try to be positive but like sometimes you're just like you're not made for this or like you know and when I heard it I was like oh perfect okay great like this
that
is
that means a lot to me seriously
like I was like this is and it's like your own thing like because I also was like well how does that even work on a podcast like how do you what are you like doing readings I'm like what is this
I remember you saying
I was really like I didn't quite understand how you were going to make a podcast out of what you do and then now it's all become clear. You know, and you know, it's just so funny. I think you mean so much to so many people. So I wonder how that is to you having to split your time with so many people that might want something from you, you know, or so many people that you've affected their lives. Like if that sometimes is a burden or a weight, you know, that's hard to carry around.
It is. It is at times. I'm not going to lie. It's a fine line being friends with people and then being a psychic medium because, again, you never know. They're always coming to you for advice and wanting to change stuff. And then how do you – just like you have the issue telling people shit. I have a hard time telling my friends, snap the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
Like I had to let go of a couple people just this year alone where, I mean, they're just self-sabotaging and they're just not going to get it. And I was like, I can't continue to do this. Like, if we're going to be friends, then please no more psychic readings. Let's just be friends, whatever. Whatever you get yourself involved in is what you get yourself involved in. I'm fucking done with it. But
see, those are the relationships I like, well, I'll stay in this forever. You know, like, yeah, no. I mean, you're like, I'm very bad at cutting people out of my life, but I'm getting better at it. Yeah.
Like I said, we're always at the other end of each other's lives here. So you're probably going to get better at it. I'm going to probably get, obviously, we're both going to get better at what we do for sure. So what do you see changing for you in the next 6 months?
I think it is one of those things that it is really, to speak abstractly, is to kind of like take myself out on a test drive. Like, I'm like, wow, I've got like a decent car like at my disposal. Like, how does it, what is it? How fast can this go? Like, how strong is the engine? Mm-hmm. Like, wow, like I have a voice. I can use it. You know, I can be confident. I'm a good person so I can sleep at night. Mm-hmm. I can like myself. There's things to like about myself. So how fast can we go? You know, like, can it handle the turns? Like, can, you know, how, what is my precision like? And I think that is this next 6 months is really testing those boundaries or those limits and seeing that I really do feel I'm at a point where anything can happen. Like, nothing is out of question. Yeah.
Good.
Like, there's possibilities and like things that I might not have ever thought were possible. They could be possible. Like, I could make things happen. Like, I could work hard. I could make, if I believe in it, if I believe I can achieve, but like, no, for real, like, yeah.
It's true though.
Yeah. I mean, this next 6 months is really kind of testing my boundaries, testing my limits, testing my strength. Like, what, how fast can I get this? Like, you know, how far can I go?
I'm totally stealing that from you. You know that, right?
Yeah, please. I will sue the pants off you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is called the In Your Head podcast that Ryan Bailey owns now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So you're improving your character, you as a person. What about career? What do you hope to have accomplished by those 6 months? Because I want to see you out there.
I want to book 2 more commercials, I think, in the next 6 months. I want to get, I would love to get a voiceover campaign. I think that's within reach and that's not insanely out of bounds. I would love to have either finished my short film or like be like just like it almost on the edge of happening. You know, those are like the big things right now career wise, but it's also just creating opportunities to get into more rooms, mm-hmm. like to get into more casting directors' offices, to really push myself because, you know, I'm at a decent look right now. I think there's a lot of people that need to see me now. I think I would really love to get into rooms with the person I am now as opposed to the person I was a couple years ago. And I took a long hiatus from a lot of things. Like, I didn't act for a good, you know, I gave up my agents. I gave up, you know, I kind of withdrew a lot. And so it's really nice to kind of get back out there and start again and be excited by that notion. So that, you know, it's kind of just trying to create as many opportunities as I can for myself in the next 6 months.
Fuck yeah. What about comedy? I want to touch on that really fast. Or do you do comedy?
I went through the Groundlings program, which is like, you know, is where Will Ferrell and those guys all came out of. And that was when I first started talking to you. It took me like 7 years to get to, you know, they have a certain level system where they have to pass you through these levels. Each level, they kick people out. And I got to the final level after like 6 or 7 years, and, you know, only a handful of people get to that place. And it was an amazing experience. Unfortunately, I didn't make the main company, but it was one of my favorite times of my, even that was like going through hell, but that was like my bright spot, because I was able to just, it taught me to be a better writer. It taught me to be a better performer. And I had such, I loved it so much. And so really, like, that was, I did, you know, there was periods where I did stand up. I went through UCB improv and I have all of that in my tool belt, but I had to say, like, this last 2 years, I didn't really feel a lot like laughing, you know? Yeah. So coming out of that, I'm starting to find things really funny again. And I, like, you know, I'm writing those down. I never know where I can use anything. The podcast I find insanely funny. That's a really good outlet for me right now, comedy-wise.
You crack me up all the fucking time.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, by the way, this has been a really serious podcast, so people are like, I don't know if that's funny.
Oh, bullshit. Yeah. So where can we find you?
Yes. On Instagram at RyanBailey25, Twitter at RyanBailey25. You can find me at RyanKylerBailey.com. That's my website. We're about to do a relaunch on that. You guys, please, what I will ask, even if you don't listen to our pod, go subscribe to the pod on iTunes or any of the podcasting outlets. And you know, if you're there, give us a 5-star review. Even if you don't, you don't have to listen to the show. Just give us a review. Listen to the podcast if you like it. If it's your cup of tea, if you like to laugh, if you like to be silly about the Kardashians, that's the place to go. But anything else, Instagram and Twitter, I'm on there way too much.
Well, my brother, thank you very much for coming on here.
Man, Chris, thank you for all that you've done for me. I would go to the ends of the earth for you. And everybody out there listening, this is the man. You know that already, but you bring so much joy into my life. So thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you for being the first male on In Your Head.
Yeah, but I have a feeling the last male, too. I think I've ruined it for all men.
No. I want to thank you so much. This is a spot that I held open just for you here. I didn't want any other guy on here until you got on here. I'm so honored and so blessed to have you on. You're an amazing friend. You're an amazing brother. You're an amazing person. For those of you that don't know about Ryan, go and check him the fuck out. Go see what he's about. He's a phenomenal person, a phenomenal human being, and I'm so proud to call him a friend. So from the In Your Head podcast family to yours, this is Chris Medina and Ryan Bailey.
Hello.
Signing out.
Bye.